I think it's right this morning to say that even the greatest human intellect can never fully plumb the depths of the mystery of God and man, two distinct natures and one person. That, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul put some very simple words together, but he explained it so well when he said, "Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." We read verses just earlier in the book of Isaiah that remind us that unto us a child is born. That was true. But the Son wasn't born in Bethlehem. For it was unto us the eternal Son was given. That's what the Bible says. And the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we're thinking about today, we are reminded when we look at this 23rd verse of this title, Emmanuel, God with us. All that God is, men and women, is in Christ. And the title here, Emmanuel, embodies the name of God. You, of course, I'm sure have noticed the EL there at the end of it. You'd be familiar with El Shaddai. And you know, of course, that this is a title of God, the one who is all-powerful. It's also true today to say that the Lord Jesus Christ's body was a special body. You know that many don't want to know, and many who do know today have cast away many an opportunity to embrace him. But when you and I think of him, we think of his sinless body, we think of his sinless birth, we think of his sinless behavior as he walked among men, remembering, of course, that for 33 years he did that before he went to the cross. There's also his sinless blood. And as we gather around the Lord's table later on, we will be remembering and indeed giving thanks for the blood that was shed for us. This particular name, Emmanuel, that is given to him, it, I believe, encourages us to look back and to reflect upon how it has been since last Christmas and how he has been with us. Now, you have been, I'm sure, many a place. Excuse me, and I have been many a place as well. But if you're in an airport, there are people there in the same place as you. Well, the title here, Emmanuel, doesn't merely mean in the same company as or in the same place as you, but rather the word Emmanuel, which has a preposition there with, it means God with us. The little preposition makes all the difference because the preposition means not merely in the company with, but together with. In the sense of sharing with. And folks, that has made the difference for you and I who are saved during this past year. We're all in each other's company this morning. But I can't share with you the way he can. And I'm not together with you the way he is. And as we soon launch out into another year, I trust today as we look at the title, God and I together, here and now. Every believer will one day be with him. But God and I together, here and now. And as we think of this title this morning, Emmanuel, I want to say that as he is sharing with us and together with us, first of all, we rest in him. We rest in him. There was a time for long enough when we were alienated from God because of our sin. And we, in many respects, we trod a lonely pathway without him. And many of us can recall those times when we asked ourselves the question, surely, or is there not something more to life than this? We knew that loneliness because of original sin. But then, as life went on, we were very, very familiar with our own actual transgression and how we are sinners, yes, by birth, but also by nature and by practice. But over there in the book of Romans, chapter 3, Romans chapter 3, verse 24, says there, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. And these verses, of course, remind us of all that he has provided for us and how you and I were enabled to turn from our sin and be united to him. There's any number of scriptures we could look at this morning. Over there in the book of Titus and chapter 3 says there in verse 4 and 5, but after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. That's what we're thinking about at Christmas season. That is the true reason that we celebrate at this time of the year. It goes on to say, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. It's interesting to note there in that verse that the word regeneration is a word that in the original is associated with springtime. If there are frosts, which sometimes there are, and everything seems to die back and die away, and you go out into the woods or out into the fields indeed, it seems that everything is gone. But then as springtime comes, just as if as out of nowhere, little bulbs appear, and little blades of grass, and little parts of all the different kinds of plants that appear, as though that which was dead and looks dead, and in many respects is dead, is now regenerated. It's brought to life again. And in a very few days, you can go back and see all those little plants beginning to grow. And so it is through the springtime. A word that is associated with springtime and used in that way regarding the start of new life. Good to be able to read that verse and to say that I rest in him, because God in mercy regenerated me from deadness to life when I come as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lovely verse over there in John's Gospel and chapter 5. John's Gospel chapter 5 and verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth in him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but has become to the end of this point, resting in him. We find rest in him. Is ask yourself the question, have you been in this journey? Have you been brought from death to life? And does this morning find you glad when you think of the name or the title Emmanuel, because you're resting in him? And you have found that rest that your soul needed in him. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 54. It says, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Every Christian can read those verses with a great degree of assurance. I trust that whoever's listening this morning at Sermon Audio or anywhere else, that you will be able to say that I rest in him. And this Emmanuel, God together with me, sharing with me, we find rest in him. We've been delivered from the power of sin. And one day we will be brought from the very presence of sin. You see, Christmas is all about Christ. I love the family get together, the friends. I love the meetings here in church. I love to see other people enjoying similar meetings, and I love to see families together. And yes, I do love to see people all dressed up in their Christmas stuff and out together shopping and all of that. There's a nice feel for me about Christmas, but primarily, it's about Emmanuel. How empty and how futile everything else would be if we were not resting in him. Emmanuel, who is God sharing with us or together with us, we rest in him, but there's another thought here. We rely upon him. You've relied upon him during these past years as you sought, this past year as you sought to do something with him. And when this discouragements have come, you have relied upon him. And I have relied upon him. There's one of my friends was preaching or visiting America one time, and he was in an evangelical church there, and the minister said, I've often said to my wife, never let me resign on a Sunday night or a Monday morning. You know what that was about? Sunday night attendance. Never let me resign on a Sunday night or a Monday morning, because we rely on him. We have to turn to him when discouragements come, when setbacks come along. Over there in 2 Chronicles, and I know that if you're a believer, that you have been relying on him, but we need to continue to do that, folks. The world is broken, and there are things that caused you alarm this year in the media, and they'll cause you alarm this year too, as we go forward into 24. But you remember there in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, you have Asa, who came to the throne when things were quiet, and he did have a good opportunity just to lie up on his big sofa and do nothing. But he didn't do that. They had quiet in the land, but rather than lie up, he utilized the time. Rest had been given unto them in every side. It was a quite unusual situation. Verse 7. But they built and they prospered. And you can imagine that some people may have been saying to him, well, you know, what's all the excitement about? Take it easy. There's no problem here. There's no big danger on the horizon. But Asa had a lot of discernment and wisdom, and he prepared even in the quiet time. And then everything changed. There's a million men in the enemy that came against him. And in his great need, in verse 11, it says, and Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. And in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. You've seen the words there. O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. The word means to lean, or to rest upon, or to rely upon. It's a word that is associated with one who would be running, and you would stop. If you were in, for instance, a cross-country running, you may have to catch your breath. And the thought is of catching your breath. And Asa here, he is calling on the Lord, and he said, Lord, we need to look to thee to catch our breath here, because there's a million of them. But folks, while he relied on the Lord, if you look at verses, and I'll not take time to read them all, verses 13 down to the end of the chapter there, You will see that Asa pursued the enemy, knowing God's help. Not only did he pursue the enemy, his confidence grew because in verse 13 also, they destroyed them before the Lord and before his host, and they carried away. The momentum was building now. There was great enthusiasm, verse 14. And at the end of that verse, it shows that the Lord gave great spoil to Asa and his people. Why did he do that? Because, to begin with, Asa prepared in a quiet time when he could have loafed about. He prepared there. But whenever it come to the engagement, he said, Lord, we're resting in thee. This is going to be an uphill battle for us, but we're resting on thee. But you'll notice there in verse 11 as well, he says, thou art our God, let not man prevail against thee. He's looking help for himself, but is acknowledging that the battle is the Lord's, and so is yours. So is yours. And so is mine. And whatever you seek to do for him, whatever you try to do for the Lord, remember, we can rely just like Asa. We can rely upon him because he is Emmanuel. God sharing with us and God together with us. Not as a spectator, but right there together with us. We rest in him. We rely upon him. But another thought is that we can be revived by him. There's any number of things going on in the world that could dampen your zeal as a Christian. And there's other things too that could hinder our communion with the Lord. And we can become weary and despondent and even faint in our minds. I said more than one occasion at our when we were preaching on our motto text at the beginning of years, I said on more than one occasion that the devil's plan for sure for you and I during the coming year would be to break your spirit. And if you can break a man's spirit, then the battle, he's losing the battle there. You think of modern warfare, even right up to date. It's about breaking the spirit of the enemy. And if you break a man's spirit, then really you have the battle half won. And the devil, he wants to break our spirit. So it's not an unusual thing to feel weary. And I don't mean tired. Everybody's tired. But I mean worn down through hard work. Or even feeling faint in your mind because perhaps of fear. He wants to break your spirit. And if that is the case, that he manages to do that, then we can become like the two in the Emmaus Road. They weren't always despondent. But when their eyes were off the Lord, they became despondent. Because their own hopes had been dashed. And now the thought that everything was lost. And sometimes Christians will feel they got a wee bit. But everything is lost. That nothing is worthwhile. But remember this, Emmanuel, God is with us. He's able to come alongside just as he did to those two on the road to Emmaus and to revive our hearts. And there's a very important verse over there. I'll just read it for you now. It's in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 3. It's to do with running the race, with working for him. But in verse 3 of Hebrews 12 it says, for consider him, that is Christ, that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. The word faint there means to be losing ground. In your minds. And it's really saying this is what will happen if we don't consider him. What does consider him mean? Well, the words consider him there means to compare things in their due proportion. Remember Calvary. Remember the crucifixion of Christ. Remember that what he did there, he did it for you and for me. And that may seem like an elementary thing. But if we are able to continually do that, whenever we feel that the devil is attacking and this weariness is coming, and we feel a bit, our zeal is dampened and we've been discouraged, and maybe we feel that our communion was not what it used to be, he's able to come along as he did there to those on the Emmaus Road, and their hearts burned within them. Good question to ask myself now at the end of another year. Does my heart burn within me for the Lord and regarding the Lord? And considering him, as we're told here in Hebrews 12 and verse 3, he can revive our hearts, and he has done that before, but he can restore our pace. Did you ever long to be where you used to be? I remember a girl saying to me one time, she says, "I'm not where I used to be." At least she said it. And it could be the case with me or with you or anyone else. We're not where we used to be. He can restore our pace. We often refer to Elijah, who ran away because of Jezebel. And he's away hiding, almost unthinkably, in a little cave. Came out to listen to what the Lord had to say to him. But it's very important to remember that when the Lord had finished conversing with him there, that the Lord said to him, "Go." And he went, "Go." The Lord restored his pace, and he's able to restore your pace. Doesn't matter what age you are. He revives our hearts. He restores our pace. But he reassures our minds. Again, that is, I think we need to emphasize that these days, because it is the mind that is under so much attack these days from the devil. It says over there in Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace." We love peace. We know we have peace judicially, that God has saved us, but we need it every day, experimentally, to walk along with him and practically. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace," but it says, "whose mind is stayed on thee." It means totally leaning upon. We're back to that again. It actually, where it says, "whose mind is stayed," it's a word that actually is connected with the words "rock of ages." Rock of ages. There are the rock of the ages. And it's been stayed upon him, relying upon him. And if our mind is kept in perfect peace, then we're so much more enthusiastic, and we can feel the benefit of being revived by him. We can certainly look back at 23 and say, "The Lord revived me because he's with me. I could rely upon the Lord because he's with me. I can rest in the Lord because he's with me." But I have one final thought here. We can be reassured for him. Very often, it's just a human thing. Christians are nervous about working for the Lord, whether it's preaching or singing or witnessing out in the open air, whatever the case might be. Sometimes people are very uptight about those things, and we feel that, well, I've given the Lord everything I have, but it's not much. Like, it's not much. But I've given it to him. But folks, the important thing is that you've given it to him. We've given it to him. And when you look all around you and you see the nation sinking, and you see loved ones who may be out in a restaurant today on Christmas Sunday, maybe out in a shopping center somewhere, and you and I are the men and women who've been given the responsibility to come and pray for them. You think of all of those things. It's all worthwhile. And please do be reassured today for him, because it is for him you want to win them to the Lord. Be reassured for him because he is with you. Emmanuel, God with us. With us as our Savior, our Sustainer, our steadfast friend, and to suppress our fears. I trust you will be very aware of the Lord's nearness and being with you, not just today, but over the whole Christmas period and in the days that lie.